The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Hey, this is Jeremiah from Remnant Church. We want you to be encouraged and filled with hope through your experience as you listen in. This life can be complicated, even confusing, but it's our hope that you catch a glimpse of God's unconditional love for you and His purpose for your life. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jeremiah Vick.
See, you guys got the donuts. It's nice. It's nice when the donuts arrive just in time so you can have something you're chewing on while the pastor's speaking. Well, I'm excited. Again, we're continuing our series. And let me just say this, because if you haven't already picked up on this, there has been some really, really good stuff that we've given you guys over the last few weeks. Really good stuff. Here's probably a statement that I'll make that I don't know if everybody's going to fully agree with this, but I feel like this series or this topic, what we're talking about, is probably one of the most important things we've ever broached at Remnant. I feel like without knowing and understanding how to share this life-saving message with our friends and family and coworkers, I mean, there's no way the church can continue to exist. There's no way that a church can sustain itself and its ministry without this element. It's such a big part of not just our church, but of our lives as followers of Jesus. I mean, this is huge. It's something that each and every one of us need to put into practice. It just has to be a part of our lives. And so that's one of the reasons that we've been going with such like a serious feel to it. This CPR series where, you know, where you're bringing someone back to life. I mean, that's a pretty serious, if someone ever gets to a point where they're having CPR performed on them, that's like their only hope, right? I mean, that's like the last resort, the last chance. And it's the same way when we're talking about our spiritual lives and really the fact that this saving grace that God offers to us, this CPR that God offers to us, without that, we can't be with God for eternity. We will never enter into God's family. We'll never be in God's presence without that. And so this is super important, because we could give you a bunch of really important things about life. We could give you some great principles to live by, some good instructions, some guidelines for how to like navigate your way through life and you know, get the best out of this journey that God's put you on. But the reality is that if we never clearly explain the gospel to you, and we never clearly communicate to you how important it is that that message continues to go out, then we're not doing our job. We're just like a self-help clinic, right? We're like just a place that gives you good advice. And we don't want to become that. We don't want to be a place where you come and you just kind of get to hear the pastor talk and say things like, oh, that sounds like a great principle to apply to my life. Well, we want these to be good principles for you to apply, but we also want you to be able to take the life-saving message of Jesus to the world that needs to hear it, okay? And I've titled my message today, Search and Rescue. And so I'd like, you know, with all the stuff that's been going on in Texas with the hurricane relief effort, all this stuff going on, I kind of hesitated about titling it Search and Rescue, because one of the things was I knew there was going to be a hashtag, and I wondered if people would, you know, click on the hashtag and this would come up in their feed and it might be confusing for them, like why are people talking about search and rescue in church? But the reality is, as important as it is for someone to be rescued from physical peril, I mean, it is way more important for someone to be rescued from sin and an eternity separated from God. I mean, that's a serious danger. It's an imminent danger, because that's the reality that most of the people on this planet are facing. And so so it is super important. So I was like, okay, search and rescue, this is a very important thing. And hopefully if someone does click on the hashtag, they'll hear something about the gospel anyway. So search and rescue, that's what we're going to be talking about. So the idea of, and this is kind of my focus for today, I want to really lean into this idea of us not just being able to share our faith, but actually going out and pursuing people, seeking out people that need to hear that message. Identifying people in our lives that we know or have a pretty good idea, those people need to hear the message of Jesus. See, in a world filled with people who are hopeless and hurting, we need to be proactive about reaching out to them, offering them the help that they need, and bringing them to safety. And that's really what the gospel is all about. It's about reaching out, providing exactly what that person needs, and bringing them into a place of safety. And that's what happens when someone experiences the gospel. And so we're actually going to look at the life of Jesus. And this passage today is going to kind of be some insight into how Jesus feels, how important Jesus feels it is that people hear the gospel. And so it's not necessarily going to focus on one single act that Jesus has done, but really it's going to focus in on the heart of God towards the people that don't know him. And so we're going to be spending some time in Matthew chapter 9 today. So if you have your Bibles, you can flip over there. It's going to be up on the screen, obviously, for you as well. So Matthew chapter 9, we'll be looking at verses 35 through 38. So let me read this for you, and then we'll pray and jump into this. It says, Jesus traveled through all the towns and villages of that area, teaching in their meeting places and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were distressed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. He said to his disciples, "The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into the field." And so, Father, as we dig into this passage and as we discover what you have for us, Father, may we, first of all, God, may we feel and get a clear picture of your heart towards the people that need to hear the good news. And secondly, Father, I pray that in our own hearts that we would make a decision, if we haven't already done that, Father, that we would truly make a decision to commit our lives to that purpose, so that our lives would line up with your heart. And so, God, as we spend time talking about these things, I pray that my words would be your words today. And we want to give you all the glory, God, for what happens today. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So here we have Jesus, and it's kind of like a description, like a kind of a bird's eye view of what Jesus is doing as he's ministering to the people. And it talks about how he is going into these towns and these villages, going into all these areas, going into the meeting places, right? And so the first thing that I see Jesus doing that I believe God would want us to model is that Jesus is going where the people are. We need to go where the people are. And I want you to think about this for a moment. Jesus went where the people are, and the reason that Jesus did that was because he knew that they weren't going to necessarily come and seek him out. And so he went to where the people are. As a matter of fact, Jesus hung out with groups of people that needed help, that needed direction, that needed his grace and his forgiveness. And he hung out with those people so much that he kind of had a little bit of a reputation. He had kind of a reputation of being a guy that hangs out with, well, losers, in a sense. And the reality is that people would say, hey, there's Jesus. He's the guy that hangs out with people that, you know, do these things that are unsavory practices, right? I mean, he's the guy that hangs out with the people that no one wants to be around. And so he, even because of his attention towards the people that needed to hear the gospel, he kind of got labeled as being someone that hangs out with those people. Now, let me just say this, because there are too many of us in this room who are probably more worried about our reputation than about sharing the gospel with somebody. We're probably more worried about somebody seeing you with a particular person than you are about that person's soul. And the reason I make that statement, I'm not pointing anybody out, and hopefully you don't feel like I'm, well, hopefully you do feel like I'm pointing you out, because that would be God saying, listen up. But here's the thing, that the reality is that we don't recognize how important it is for us to go out and be among people that need to hear the gospel. Now, there's a huge difference between going out and being among people that need to hear about Jesus and going out and partying with people, okay? Because you can go out and you can live the same lifestyle, the people that are not trying to honor God, you can go out and live that lifestyle and hang out with them and do everything you want with them and never once communicate God's truth to them. But if you go to spend time with them for the reason of looking for opportunities to share, then I believe you're doing what Jesus was doing. Look at verse 35, this description. It says, Jesus traveled through all the towns and villages of that area, teaching in their meeting places and announcing the good news about the kingdom. So where's he going? He's going to the places that people hang out. He's going and he's spending time with people. He's going to where the people are. Just like we cannot expect someone who is lost, injured, or dying to help themselves, we cannot expect people to come to us to hear the good news. We must go to them. Did you guys catch that? I mean, you don't expect someone who's seriously injured or near death to come and try to find someone to give them medical attention. And that same way, we can't expect people who are lost and are dying spiritually and have no idea that that's their reality. You can't expect those people to come to us. We've got to go to them. And that's what Jesus is doing in this passage that we're looking at. In fact, Paul says it this way in Romans 10, verse 4. Paul says, how can people have faith in the Lord and ask him to save them if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear unless someone tells them? Paul's got a good question. That's a legitimate question. How are people going to respond to the gospel if they never hear the gospel? And how are people going to hear if somebody who knows the gospel doesn't go and talk to them? How's it going to happen? I mean, you might think this is a rhetorical question, but I think Paul's like, yeah, give me an answer. I'd love to hear your side of the story. Let's find out what your solution is for this problem, because the reality is, it's not going to happen any other way. People are not going to find out about God any other way than by you, someone who has experienced God and loves him and knows him, going and talking to them. That's how they're going to discover about God's love. Here's the thing, you are not God's plan B for how people are going to hear about him. You are his one and only plan. Now, I want you to get this. I don't want you to miss this. It's not like God is like, okay, if they don't get this right, I got another plan. I got a backup plan. It's like, no, God has one plan, okay? There's not like plan A, plan B, plan C. No, there is one plan. And that plan, God's plan for the gospel going out and being heard is you. You are God's only plan. No plan B. Nothing to fall back on. But notice what Jesus is doing. So Jesus isn't just going out there and hanging out with people, right? Like we said earlier, anybody could do that. Any one of us could go and hang out with people that don't know God. But that's not the only thing he's doing. Look what it says at the end of verse 35. It says, and he healed every kind of disease and illness. Now, I'm not saying that if you're going to go out and spend time with people that are broken, that you're going to be healing them, right? And that's not necessarily what I'm saying. But what I am saying is, in essence, what is Jesus doing? What is he doing? He is meeting people's physical needs. The people that Jesus is approaching have needs. They have physical needs. They have things going on in their life that are not quite right. And Jesus has the capacity. He has the ability to fix that problem that they're dealing with. That's the same for us. The same thing for us. The quickest way to open someone's heart to the gospel is to meet their physical needs. Do you realize that? The quickest way for you to get God's message into someone's heart is to meet a physical need that they have. What does that mean for us as followers of Jesus? It means that sometimes sharing the gospel is pretty hands-on. That sometimes you might have to change somebody's tire before you can see their life get changed. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes maybe you'll have to feed somebody some real food and meet a physical need in that way before they'll ever take from the bread of life. That's the reality. That is what it means to truly share the gospel. And I think that if we plan on just somehow going out and communicating with our lives and that's going to be enough, or somehow we're just going to say a nice word to someone every once in a while, or maybe God is going to provide this perfect opportunity where someone's just going to come up to you and say, I want to hear about what you believe about God. Now, I'm not saying those moments are not going to happen. They may occur. But the reality is, the quickest way for you to get to someone's heart with God's message of love is to do something for them. And that's what Jesus is doing. He's spending time with people. He's meeting their physical needs, and their hearts are open to his message of love. It says this in 1 Peter 4, 8 through 11. I think it puts a beautiful picture on this. It says, love each other as if your life depended on it. Love makes up for practically anything. Be quick to give a meal to the hungry, a bed to the homeless, cheerfully. Be generous with the different things God gave you, passing them around so all get in on it. If words, let it be God's words. If help, let it be God's hearty help. That way, God's bright presence will be evident. People are going to get a picture of what God is like when they see you living like Jesus. People are going to understand what it means to have a relationship with God when they begin to see you living out God's love. And I guarantee, if you start trying to meet the needs of people around you, if you begin to identify the need, I mean, the first thing is just noticing that there's needs, right? We could get so busy in our lives and just be going and going and going and not even realize that we're passing by people that have needs. Well, Debbie and I were at this, we were up in Lakeside yesterday, and we were at the stoplight, and we saw like two or three people, and it was like a team of homeless people. I don't know if they said if they were homeless, but they were asking for money. But it was like a team. I mean, these guys were like well-oiled machine. They had it all organized, right? And they were like, you know, passing the baton, like tagging each other in, like, go, your turn. You know, and they were, these guys were working that corner, and I was just like, man, I've never seen people work together, people in need work together like that to get people to give them something. And I'm thinking to myself, are people so desperate that they have to like get organized and trying to meet their needs like that? And I'm not saying that that's like a model of what, you know, we want to be happening around the world. But the idea is that I'm seeing these people, and I'm seeing that these people are like trying to figure out how to save themselves. They're trying to figure out how to rescue themselves. And there are people that have the ability to meet their needs all around them. There are people that have the ability. You have people in your life right now. You have people that you spend time with, that you see on a regular basis, that have major needs in their lives. Do you even know what those needs are? Do you even know what they need? Do you know how they're hurting and what's going on in their life? Do you know where they're missing out on something? What the lack is in their life? If you don't know, I mean, maybe it's because you haven't cared enough to ask. And I'm not saying you're just going to go up to some random person and be like, hey, what's your problem, you know? What do you got going on that needs help, you know? But I think that what we need to be is attentive to the people around us. We need to be sensitive and look for signs and look for places in their life that need God's touch. And then ask ourselves, is God going to use me to meet this person's physical needs so their heart can be opened to the gospel? That's what it means to live out the gospel. And that's why I say we need to go where the people are. See, going where the people are is not necessarily going to a geographic location. Sometimes it just means meeting a person right where they're at. Go where the people are. Go where the people have the greatest need. And meet that need. Do everything you can to meet that need, because then hearts are going to be opened to the gospel. So I see Jesus going where the people are. The second thing, he cares, he really cares about their condition. We need to care about their condition. We need to have genuine concern about their condition. Look what it says in verse 36. It says, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were distressed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. So Jesus sees the people and his heart breaks for them. He's overwhelmed with emotion, with compassion for the people that he sees. And he notices two things about them. He notices that they're distressed and they're helpless. You know, if you take a little closer look at these words that are used here, the word distressed in Greek is the word eison, which means to have one's strength depleted, to be weakened through exhaustion, to grow weary, to be tired out. Does this describe anybody that you know? Maybe you're like, man, that describes me, right? But I mean, do you know people in your life that have just been beat up by life? They are so tired, they're so exhausted because of the trial that they're facing, because of whatever need they're trying to meet on their own without anybody's help. They're just worn out. And look at the other word. The word helpless here is the word eriminoi, which means thrown or cast down with a sudden motion or a jerk. You know people that just hit rock bottom suddenly, that just, it's like life just like grabbed them and threw them to the ground? That's the description here. You know people that have been jerked around by life and that are just, I mean, they feel like everywhere they go, everywhere they turn, they're just being beat down. That's what Jesus saw in the crowds when he looked at these distressed people and he had compassion on them. He really felt their needs. And that's the reason that he went to them. Guys, we have to care. We have to care about the condition of the people around us. If we're just trying to like make our way through life without, you know, brushing shoulders with anybody, without, you know, disrupting our own little world and our own little plans. You know, we've got plans. Am I right? I mean, we sit down, we don't consciously do that, but I mean, we start our day knowing that there's a plan that I want to accomplish. And if there's something that happens that interrupts that plan, then, you know, I don't like that disruption. I like things to just go my way. But the reality is we cannot live our lives to serve ourselves. When we live our lives selfishly in that way, we are not doing what God's called us to do. We're not taking the gospel to people when we focus on ourselves and we just want to have our needs met. As a matter of fact, when you go to meet someone else's need, it should hurt a little bit. When you go to like try to help somebody, it should put you out a little bit. You should go out of your way. You should be inconvenienced. You should have to maybe worry, you know, where are my finances going to be provided from when I just used some of it to help somebody else? That's the kind of heart that God wants us to give out of. We don't give out of our surplus. You know what I'm talking about? It's not like, you know, we just got some extra money, right? It's not like we're doing laundry and we found $100. Yeah, you know, it's like, when that happens, we celebrate that, right? But God's not saying, give that extra money you found. No, God is saying, help somebody in a way where you actually feel it yourself. And for Jesus to go and minister to those people, I mean, we hear often as you read through the Gospels and you read through the life of Jesus and you hear where Jesus was just completely worn out by the end of the day. As a matter of fact, there were moments where Jesus just had to get away alone with God because he was so tired and so depleted from serving and meeting people's needs. Are you tired at the end of the day because you spent the whole day helping yourself? Or are you exhausted at the end of the day because you did everything you could to meet the needs of the people around you? And then ask yourself, which kind of life models Jesus' life? Which kind of life is more like Jesus? See, if we're going to reach the people around us with this life-saving message, we have to be genuinely concerned about the shape they're in. We've got to have genuine concern for the shape of other people's lives if we're going to make a difference in their lives. Look what it says in 1 John 3:16-17. You know, this is one of those overlooked passages because people always focus on John 3:16, right? And 1 John 3:16-17, it's a great passage. It says, we know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. In other words, we know what love looks like because Jesus clearly illustrated that on the cross. So we ought also to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. What does that mean? It's like we saw Jesus illustrate the love on the cross. How can we give up our lives for other people? What cross is God calling us to bear for the sake of somebody else? Verse 17 says, if someone has enough money to live well and sees a brother or sister in need but shows no compassion, how can God's love be in that person? So the question is, if you see that someone has a need that needs to be met and you don't meet that need, do you really have God's love in you? That's the question here. If you can walk right by someone that has a need, do you yourself really have God living in you? Do you really have a relationship with Jesus if you can ignore the needs of others? I don't think so. Look at how passionate Paul was about meeting people's needs, about making sure that these people that were broken and beaten down by life heard the gospel. He says in Romans 9, verses 2 and 3, he says, my heart is filled with bitter sorrow and unending grief for my people. I would be willing to be cursed to be forever cursed, cut off from Christ, if that would save them. This is how concerned Paul was about meeting the needs of people so that they would hear the gospel. He was so concerned that people heard about God's love, he was like, I myself would be willing to be cut off from Jesus forever if I could just know that that would mean that everybody else would be saved. I'll be honest with you. I don't know that I love people that much to say, make that statement. I don't know that I love people that much to say I would be willing to give up my relationship with God so that everybody else would have a relationship with him. And if that sounds selfish, I mean, let's ask ourselves that question. Could you make this statement? Could you say I'd be willing to give up my life, my relationship with Jesus, if it meant that everybody I know would come to Christ? What kind of compassion would you have for the people around you in order for that to be your attitude? Paul takes this pretty serious. Charles Spurgeon says this. He says, have you no wish for others to be saved? Then you are not saved yourself. Be sure of that. That may be one of the most biting statements I've ever heard someone say. He says, you don't care about other people getting saved? You're probably not saved yourself. You probably don't have a relationship with God, because if you have a relationship with God, you are going to care about others. So Jesus, he went where the people are. He wants us to go where the people are. He wants us to care about their condition. And the third thing, we need to answer Jesus' call to action. Look at this last verse that we read, verses 37 and 38. This is Jesus' call to action. He said to his disciples, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. You know, he might have been standing by a field when he said that. He might have been standing by a field that was like ready to be brought in, right? I mean, it was ready to be harvested. But he looks out across that field and he's like, you know what? That's a big field. And there's a lot of crop to be harvested. And guess what? There ain't enough people to do it. There's just not enough people to do it. Think about this. Think about the number of people that don't know Jesus. Now, I'm not just talking about the world, okay? Because that could be a pretty staggering number, right? We think about, you know, maybe the billions of people that have never heard the gospel and don't know Jesus. I mean, that can make you feel pretty bad, but there's nothing you can do about that, right? Like, most of those people are on the other side of the world. Like, how am I going to reach them? What am I going to do? So I'm not asking you to think about people around the world that don't know Jesus. I'm asking you to think about people in your life that don't know Jesus, the people that you know that don't know God. And I guarantee they way outnumber the people that do know Jesus. You know way more people that don't know him than people that do know him. The harvest is great. There are a lot of people that don't know Jesus, and there's not a whole lot of people that care enough to go out and share the gospel. That's what Jesus is saying here. That's his whole point. So how do we do that? Let me finish reading the verse. I think I stopped partway. The harvest is great, the workers are few. Then check out what he says. He says, so pray to the Lord of the harvest, the Lord who's in charge of that harvest, and ask him to send more workers into his field. You know, I once heard someone say that the Bible never tells us to pray for the lost. The Bible never tells us, God never tells us in his word to pray for the people that are lost. Instead, he says, pray for the people that do know Jesus, that they will go out and share the message with the lost. And that's what Jesus is asking us to do. So there's two ways that we do this. Two ways that we do this. We do it by going, in other words, taking personal responsibility to share the good news with others. So we ourselves, you as an individual, you take the personal responsibility of sharing God's love with people around you. That's one way that you answer Jesus' call. The second way that you answer Jesus' call is by sending. By sending, and by that I mean empowering others to take the gospel to those who need rescued. So you're going and you're sending. You're taking the personal responsibility to tell people about Jesus, and you're making it possible for other people to tell others about Jesus. How do we do that? How do we do that? Well, there's some great organizations. There's some great missions organizations. There's some great people that have committed their lives to serving God, that have no other job in their lives but going out and sharing the gospel with people. How can we spread God's word? What's one way we can respond to Jesus' call to action? By helping those people get out there. So we're taking personal responsibility to meet the needs of the people around us, but we're also enabling others to tell the good news to people we can't reach. I'm not going to make you raise your hands, but how many of us support a mission organization, some mission organization? How many of us have committed to giving regularly to someone who is sharing the gospel? You know, and I'll just be honest with you, being the director of Youth for Christ, we really feel it when people don't give. It's just like, we're like, how can we do this job? How can we do this job God's called us to do if we can't go out and do it, if we don't have what we need to go out and do it? And we're just one of many organizations that have committed to sharing the gospel with people. And so I can tell you from a firsthand experience that sending, this idea of answering Jesus' call by sending, is so, so big. If we claim to be a follower of Jesus, we have to take his call on our lives to go and touch other people's lives seriously. We got to take it serious. So if we're not going or sending, there's a problem. Matter of fact, John Piper says it this way. We share this quote with our students when we do our leadership training. He says, when it comes to sharing the gospel, there are only three kinds of Christians. There are zealous goers, there are zealous senders, and disobedient. So it's like there's three kinds of people that have the gospel and have the ability to share. There are those that go, there are those that send others, and there are those that don't do anything and are living in disobedience to God, that are not responding to Jesus' call. Don't be that person. Don't be that one who's ignoring God's call on your life. Don't allow your life to fall into that category of disobedient. Be a goer, be a sender. 1 John 3:18 says, "Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions." This is a call on our lives from Jesus to go out and do what we say. If we truly say we believe in Jesus and we say this is the life-saving message, then let's go out and save some lives with it. Let's go tell people about Jesus and how he can heal them and how he can restore them and how much he loves them. I love what Paul says in Romans chapter 15 when he's talking about what his goals are. And he says this in verse 20. He says, "My ambition has always been to preach the good news where the name of Christ has never been heard, rather than where a church has already been started by someone else." He's like, you know what? He's like, my goal in life is to go and tell someone who's never heard the gospel about Jesus. What if that was all of our ambition? What if we were all just like, you know what? My goal is to find somebody who doesn't know Jesus and to tell them how much he loves them and how they can be saved. Oswald Chambers, he has a great devotional book called My Utmost for His Highest, written a long time ago, but such good stuff in there. He said this. He said, "So long as there is a human being who does not know Jesus, I am his debtor to serve him until he does." He's like, as long as there's one person out there that doesn't know Jesus, I'm a slave to God until that person hears the gospel. See, here's the deal. As followers of Jesus, our work here is never done. There's always one more person who needs to hear the good news. There is always one more person in our lives that needs to hear the gospel. And here's the deal. For each and every one of you that have a relationship with God, if you have Jesus in your life, I'm going to give you a way out. I'm going to give you like an escape, a way, you know, where this doesn't apply to you, right? An exemption, so to speak, from sharing the gospel, okay? Are you guys ready for it? This is your exemption. So if this is true about your life, then you don't have to share God's love with anybody around you, okay? Here's the term. Here's the condition. If there is no one that you know in your life that doesn't know Jesus, then you're free. You don't have to share the gospel, okay? If you don't know anybody in your life, if you don't know a single person that's never heard about God's love and doesn't know the gospel message, okay? If you don't know, if everybody in your life is saved and they're all, let me just say this. If that's true for you, you know like three people, okay? And I feel bad for you because your friend, your group of friends is very, very small. The reality is that we all know people that need Jesus. We all know people that need God's love. And so that exemption is never going to apply to you. Sorry to disappoint you, but your work is not done. Your work, as a matter of fact, your work on this earth will never be done until every single person hears the gospel. That's what this series is all about. This series is all about sending ourselves out, responding to the call that Jesus has placed on our hearts to share God's love with the people around us. That's our job. That's like our reason God put us here on this earth. That's the reason that Jesus saved your soul, so that you could go out and share that message with somebody else. Now, if you're here today and maybe you yourself have never responded to the gospel message, well, that's the first person that needs to respond to Jesus' love. That's you. If you've never done that, I encourage you, I invite you today to embrace Jesus because he loves you so much. You've heard it. Jesus was willing to come to this earth and to die, to suffer and die for you so that you wouldn't have to die, so that you wouldn't have to be separated from God for eternity, so that you could go to heaven to be with God. That's the gospel message, and Jesus did that for every single one of you in this room. And if you've never received his forgiveness, if you've never begun a relationship with Jesus, I invite you to do that today. Because the first way that you need to respond to Jesus is by coming to him and asking him to forgive you. Because when you do that, he changes your life from the inside out. And guess what else happens? When Jesus invades your life, all of a sudden you cannot keep him a secret. you will tell others about him. So I invite you, if you've never done that, I invite you to ask Jesus to come into your heart. We're going to close our services here in just a moment, but I would invite you in that moment to ask Jesus to come into your life, to make you a new person so that you can go out and serve others. And if you're here and you have a relationship with God, if you're here and you know Jesus, no matter when you've discovered him, whether it was 10 years ago or a year ago or a month ago, no matter how long you've known Jesus, the call on your life, Jesus' call on your life, is to go and share his good news. We don't really have a choice about it. That's the reason that we're here. So, Father, I just lift up this group of men and women to you. God, and I've said it before, but we would not be doing our job here at Remnant if we invite these people to come into this room and we don't tell them how important it is that they share God's love with the world. And so, Father, you know our hearts. Right now, you're looking into our hearts and you know what our motives and our desires are. And so I pray, Father, right now for every person that is a follower of Jesus in this room, God, that you would grab a hold of our hearts, that you would fill our hearts with the same compassion that Jesus had when he stood and looked at those crowds and he saw the people were distressed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. I pray that we would have your eyes and we would see people from your perspective, God, and that every person in our life that doesn't know you, we would recognize that they're distressed and they're helpless. They're beat down by life. They're cast down. They're worn out. God, help us to recognize that. And God, give us the power to step in and make a difference in their lives. God, burden us with this desire to see people's needs met so their hearts can be open to the gospel. Burden us with the calling that you've placed on our lives to go and to send. Father, we are your only plan for spreading the good news. And we are not going to fail you. Your people are going to respond to your call. Remnant Church is going to respond to your call. So right now, as you're sitting here, our heads are bowed, I just want to ask you this question. If what I said today makes sense to you, and maybe you've never heard it laid out this way before, maybe for the first time it just clicked and you're like, wow, I've got a job to do. And if you're ready to do that job, if you're ready to respond to that, would you just lift up your hand? I would love to be able to pray for you. If that's you, you recognize this is God's call in your life and you're ready to respond. Thank you. Anybody else, just lift up your hand. Say, I'm ready to do this. I'm ready to respond to God's call in my life to go and to send. Thank you, Jesus, for these hands. Thank you for these hearts, these people that want to go out and share your love with the world around us. And God, for those that maybe that's not their heart, maybe that's not their desire, Father, would you put the compassion that you felt for that crowd in their hearts today? Would you place that burning desire in their lives to go out and share this message? And if there's anyone in this room that doesn't know you, Father, I pray that right now you would captivate their hearts, that they would surrender their lives to you and invite you in. Because we can't share the gospel until we've experienced it. Father, we love you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for giving us purpose in our lives. Now help us to answer your call. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand together.
You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com. You
years before